A brother deacon of mine is very, very good at doing impressions. At least to me, impressions are some of the highest levels of humor. Not much else gets me to laugh as hard or as often as a good, well-done, and charitable impression of somebody that I know. So I asked this deacon once, how did he get so good at him? What does he do to do such a good impression? And one of the things that he said is that you have to notice idiosyncrasies of people, yes, but you have to pick up the little buzzwords, the key phrases that they repeat over and over, they use off and on. You have to pick up those things, and that's what you use to build your impression of somebody. So since then, I've been trying to pay more attention to what kind of buzzwords people like to use so I can get a little better at impressions myself. And while I don't have one of Father Jim or Father Michael yet, in just a few weeks here at St. John's, there is one buzzword that I have picked up that I find myself using more and more. And that word is disciple. To form disciples of Jesus Christ who joyfully live out the gospel. That's our purpose. It's in the gathering space. It's on the front of the bulletin. It's on the website. It's all over our campus. It's what we're all about here at St. John's. And the language of discipleship has been so extensive and so often heard in my ears that I find myself using that language way more than I ever did before. One thought experiment that I like to run through in my head from time to time, usually when I drive, is to take a thought or an idea or a topic and try to explain it to somebody who has no reference point whatsoever, who has no idea about it. Put another way, I call this my, how would I explain this to aliens? And it's kind of a fun exercise that it really makes you think clearly and explain clearly and put things in simple terms for somebody who has no knowledge of the situation to understand. So thinking about this new word in my vocabulary, disciple, and discipleship, I thought to myself, what does that even mean? How would I explain that concept to someone? So I started running through my head all these different ways in which we understand discipleship. And I bet if I took a survey of what you think discipleship means, many of the things that I thought of would be things that you thought of. And they're all true. They all mean certain aspects of discipleship, but in a certain sense, they miss the broader picture. They're but small pieces of a much broader and much more beautiful mosaic. So what are some of these understandings of discipleship? Again, they're all true, but they're not the full answer. Some might say that the reason that we are obsessed as a parish about making disciples is that we just want more people in the pews. Okay, true enough. Others might say that we want more disciples because more disciples means an increase in the offertory. Okay, also true enough. Others might say that having more disciples means that we as a parish have more to pull from to put together programs and run different things that we wouldn't be able to do with fewer. Also equally true. Some might see our 511 initiative as just kind of a number of people, of bodies, that we need to carry out all these different things that we want to do moving forward. And in a certain sense, that's true enough. Each of these aren't wrong. They're just not the full picture. Today's gospel teaches us a great deal about what discipleship is all about. And it helps us understand why we as a church have to be obsessed with making disciples. Jesus summons the 12 apostles and he sends them out two by two, giving them authority over unclean spirits. And they follow his orders. They go out to the areas around and they drive out many demons, we're told, and they anoint the sick with oil and they cure them and they preach. And if you look at earlier in Mark's gospel to where this passage is found, we find that those are all the things that Jesus himself has been doing. From the time that he's called the 12 to follow him, Jesus has been preaching. He's been healing. He's been driving out demons. And now here in the gospel, he sends the apostles out with the authority to do all the same. Jesus sends the apostles out to carry on his work, to take his work further, to do what he's been doing farther beyond, to go to different places, so he can be in six places or seven places at once and not just one. For our own discipleship, as we are sent out, we're called to be other Christs. So making disciples is more than just a simple numbers game or expanding our resources for our parish. But it's about continuing Christ's work in the world, doing the things that he did. But there's still a greater reason why. There's still a bigger picture to see. Because we're not only carrying Christ's work in the world, doing what he did, preaching the truth, loving people with charity, caring for people and all their needs. All of those are very good things. But Christ's primary mission, the reason he was sent from the Father into the world, was to gather up what was scattered, to collect the people of God together, and to bring them, mysteriously, into the Trinity's inner life. Now, I know that sounds like heavy, high theological speak, and it is. So let me try to explain. God's life, the life that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit share together, is one of joy, peace, and love. And God has chosen, from the beginning of the world and before, to share that life with each of us. That's the reason that God became man. That's why the Father sent the Son into the world to become flesh. God became man so that man could become God, said St. Athanasius. So when we're disciples of Christ and we're sent out into the world, we are being sent just as Jesus was sent from the Father to bring together people, to unite them in the bond of love around the altar. When we talk about discipleship, this is what it means. In the words of the Gospel of St. John, Jesus prays, "Father, as you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world." Listen to how beautifully this truth is expressed in the words of St. Paul. "In Christ, we were chosen so that we might exist for the praise of his glory. We have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. From all eternity, the Father sees his Son in each of us and calls us to eternal life with him. And just as Christ used the apostles to be his instruments, to carry on his work and his mission in the world, so too does he send each of us, his instruments, out to the world to bring others closer to God's life, to share in that life." So when we talk about the why of discipleship, why we must all be all about making disciples in our church, this is the reason. All of the other things, as helpful and as necessary as they are all for the sake of this, bringing others closer to salvation, to eternal life in God's own life. So when we ask you to prayerfully consider being part of the 511, we do explain it in practical terms, in terms of what we really need. We need help with Alpha. We need help with our eventual parking lot ministry, with childcare, with different aspects of the liturgy. But all of these things, and in fact, every single thing that we do here at St. John's, is ultimately about making disciples of Jesus Christ so that we can one day all be taken up into God's life as saints. God has indeed called us before the foundation of the world. So I ask you to prayerfully consider how at St. John's, the Lord is inviting you to be his instrument, to carry out his mission as a part of our parish, to bring others closer to Jesus Christ so he can share his life with them. That's what the 511 is all about. But whether you're part of the 511 or not, whether it's just not possible, whether you're involved with some ministry or ministries here at St. John's or not, or you're a parishioner elsewhere and you're just visiting, this isn't particular just to St. John's here on Ritchie Highway. It's not particular to any parish. As Catholics, it's in our blood that we are disciple makers, that we are sent out to make disciples. If you've ever wondered why we call this the Mass, here's the answer. In Latin, the ancient traditional dismissal is ite missa est. We translate that today as go forth, the mass is ended. But in Latin, it literally means go, you are sent. You are sent, missa est. It's that word, missa, that was later used to describe what Catholics do on Sunday and called it the Mass. The Mass is our sending forth. It is the sacrifice that spills over into our daily lives. So it's a good thing that here at St. John's, a buzzword is discipleship, because it's essential to our faith. May we hope and pray that disciple may be a buzzword for each of us when people try to figure out something to impersonate us on, something that others pick up on when they look at us, as together we joyfully live out the gospel.